please join us as we worship God and hear his word.
Another new song that's very easy to pick up, so join in.
Oh, sovereign God, oh, matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before the throne of grace. To you belongs all high. Passing time under your wings, I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my home and victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit.
Sing from the top, shall we? Oh, sovereign God.
Oh, sovereign God, oh, matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before. Passing time under your wings, I will abide.
Some names of God, shall we?
the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory.
The earth is filled.
The earth is filled with His glory.
Is filled.
The earth is filled with His glory.
See, the earth is filled.
The earth is filled with His glory.
Oh, the earth is filled.
The earth is filled with His glory.
I just want to take a moment just to welcome our Church Online listeners and viewers today. It's great to have you with us, and we hope that you're blessed by the service today. You know, we've been looking over these past few weeks at having a greater purpose, and this is actually the final week of that series, but I want to let you know that the greater purpose theme is going to really be the umbrella right across 2017 for us as a church. We want to be seeking more from God, looking for a greater purpose in Him, a greater purpose as a church, as individuals, as families, that we would be on mission and seeking His greater purpose in our lives and always pursuing what He has for us. And you would remember over the past few weeks, we actually had Pastor Tim set us off at the beginning of February, and he was looking at what it means to live our mission that God has set aside for us, that God has prepared us for, and to grab that by the scruff of the neck, rather than living out our shadow mission, the path of least resistance, but to actually to pursue the greater purpose that God has for us. And then in the last couple of weeks, we've heard from Pastor Dale, and he spoke to us about what the church is doing, the greater purpose that us, the people of Crossway, have in being an influential church rather than just a large church. And then last week, he was looking at the characteristics of those with greater purpose, the characteristics of the disciples, the apostles that Jesus appointed to continue on His mission. And there was one word that he used in that. He was talking about the disciples, the apostles, being promptable. And it's not actually a word that you find in your dictionary. When I typed it into my computer, Word put a little squiggle underneath it and said there is no word. But this word promptable has become a word in our vernacular at Crossway. And we know what it means, right? Someone who can be prompted. And what I want to do is actually continue on with that idea this morning. Because if we're wanting to be people who pursue our greater purpose, if we want to be people who pursue what God has for us, the greater purpose that God has for us, we have to be people who are promptable. We have to be people who can hear the voice of God and do what He says. Because it's when we listen to God that we find a greater purpose. You know, you might be the most strategic, wise person who ever lived, and that'll take you so far. But if you can hear what God is saying to you and the way that He is leading you, then you have so much greater opportunity to step into the purposes of God, to live out a greater purpose. Because God sees things that we don't see. He has a far greater perspective than we have. And so when we open ourselves up to listen to Him, to listen to His voice, to listen to His Spirit, and to do what He says, we will find ourselves naturally living a greater purpose. And so we're going to be looking at that a little bit today. And if you've got your Bibles with you or an app of some description, I would love for you to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I haven't got it on screen for you today, so you will actually have to follow along if you want to read it. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this is really the first that we read about Samuel. The man of God. At this point, he was the boy of God because he was working in the temple. He had been dedicated to work in the temple by his mum, Hannah. when he was young, just after he'd been weaned. And he became really the assistant to Eli the priest. And so he would work in the temple, and he was being mentored by Eli. He was learning the tools of the trade. He was learning what was required to be the servant of God in the temple, ministering to God and to the people of Israel. And it begins, 1 Samuel chapter 3 begins like this. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. Now, I'm just going to take a small moment here just to point something out. It says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And Israel had started to wander off and do their own thing, and they had started to lose sight of who God was and what God was doing in their midst. And then the writer tells us that Eli was starting to lose his sight. And it's no coincidence. What was actually happening here was that Eli was the physical representation of what was happening in the nation. He was losing his sight. He was losing his ability to see. And the people of God were also losing their ability to see spiritually what God was doing in their midst, what he wanted to do. And they were losing it because they were not hearing his voice. It's very deliberate what the writer is saying here. There is a point in time where God needed to bring them back and begin to speak into their lives again and bring them back on track and start to show them what he had for them. And it continues on. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." So here we have Samuel, this boy. He hadn't learned yet what God's voice sounded like. And so for him, he heard this word, Samuel, and he thought, oh, it's my boss. He wants me. He probably wants a glass of water or, you know, I don't know. So off he gets up out of his bed and he wanders into Eli and he says, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli's saying, "I didn't call you. It wasn't me." You see, what was happening was Samuel was actually hearing the voice of God, as we're about to find out. He just didn't know how to recognize it yet. Now, the interesting thing about this whole story is that Samuel had already given his life, or his life had been given, for the service of the Lord. He was already ministering to the Lord. He was already working in the temple. He had already set his life aside to work for God, to work for the plans of God, to be a minister of the Lord, to be a minister of the Lord to the people. And so his life was set in this direction where he had given it for the sake of the cause of God. And yet up until this point, Samuel did not know God. He did not know the voice of God. He didn't know how to hear the voice of God. And I want to say to you, it is possible for you to serve a religion. It is possible for you to give your life over to Christianity and to say it's got good values, it's got good morals, it's got good ideals, it's got a good God, it's got good scripture. And so therefore, I will give myself to this and I will work toward this, and yet never have an understanding of the voice of God himself. That is possible. And I would say it's actually an indictment of the church, on the church of today, that we have far too many people in that place. You see, we can give ourselves to a religion. We can say this religion has all of this good stuff and I'm going to live according to the rules and the regulations of that religion. I'm going to say that I believe in that God, but I am not going to engage with him, and I am not going to allow him to encounter me. And I want to say to you today, church, that is an absolute tragedy. Just in this last week, I heard somebody on television, saw someone on television on a popular TV show speaking about their own religion, it wasn't Christianity, speaking about their religion as something that has helped me along the way. That's how they described it. It's helped me to put into perspective things that have happened in my life. My religion has helped me to do that. And as I listened to that description, I thought, oh, gosh, you're not selling it to me. Your religion has helped you? Ugh. Yuck. Where is the relational connect? Where is the desire for a God who desires us? Where is the God who gives himself up for humanity and says, I will give everything so that I can relate with you, so that you can encounter me, so that we can speak together, so that you can hear my voice and I can intersect in your life and in your world and make an actual transforming difference? You see, that is the God that we serve. That is God Almighty, the creator of the universe, who desires to be in relationship with you. And sometimes we hear those words and we go, oh yes, relationship, whatever. But this is meant to be a dynamic thing. There is never any indication in Scripture that the people of God were meant to somehow be separated from God and just do what he says in his word, but never have any kind of a relationship together where they converse. We were always intended to have a dynamic relationship with God. He desires it. He asked for it. He set things up in place for it. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could have him, God himself, living in us, prompting us, speaking to us, conversing with us, leading us, guiding us. Heaven help us that this would just be a religion that helps us along in life. I mean, honestly, how boring could that be? When God Almighty wants to speak, he wants us to hear his voice and he wants to guide us in this life. You see, what happened for Samuel is that he learned, just in this story that we're reading today, how to hear the voice of God, and that changed everything for him. And I want to say to you today that it makes all of the difference if you are seeking your greater purpose, whether you are listening to God. That makes all the difference. In fact, it really needs to be the baseline. If you are seeking a greater purpose, if you are seeking more fulfillment in life, if you are seeking after the Lord himself, you need to learn to listen to his voice, because greater purpose hangs off hearing his voice. We live our greater purpose when we listen and obey. We live our greater purpose when we listen and obey. It's just simply the case of it. Now Samuel, here he was, he'd given up his life for service and ministry to the Lord and to his people. And here he was, and in this time and in this space, he learns to hear the voice of God, but it actually changes the trajectory of his life, because he becomes, as an adult, the man who would end up leading Israel before the time of the kings. In fact, he appointed the first king and the second. And here he is, but he's only able to do that because he hears the voice of God. And so he finds himself in this place as an adult where God had called him and said, I'm not happy with Saul anymore and I want for you to anoint a new king. And he takes him to the family of Jesse. And then one after the other, he looks at each of the brothers, each of the sons of Jesse, and they sort of start at the eldest and the most impressive. And God says, no, no, no. And on it goes until he finds his way to David. And then he anoints David king. And he was the greatest king that Israel ever had until Jesus came along. Why? Because Samuel was able to listen and obey. He was able to step into his greater purpose when he learned to listen and to obey. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the journey of my sister, actually, over this last year or so. And she'd been hearing from somebody who was talking about journaling what God was saying and making that a discipline. And so she decided to try it. And so she got herself this new journal and she sat down, and rather than what she would normally do with a quiet time, which is pick up a journal and start writing her prayers to God, she decided instead to pick up the journal and the pen and say, Lord, would you speak? I want to write what you're saying to me. And so then she'd start to write a sentence. And of course, to begin with, she's reading back over it going, that's just me, or that's the bad pizza I had last night. And she'd read back and go, you know, nice try, but not really God's voice, you know. But she carried on with this discipline. She carried on pursuing and saying, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want for you to speak to me. And just writing, 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 writing. And after a period of time, a couple of months, when she started to go back and read her journal, she discovered things in there that there's no way that she could have known. Yes, it sounded like her tone. Yes, it sounded like her language. Yes, it sounded like her sentence structure. But there were things in there that she could not have known that then came to pass. And so she realized, actually, God is speaking to me here. And I've got a record of what he's saying. And as she started to learn this discipline and the discipline became a habit, it became intoxicating to her. And all she wanted to do was hear more. And so it was like, who wants to talk? You know, I just want to listen. And she'd pick up her journal and then the Lord would speak. And she would call me routinely throughout the year last year and go, listen to what the Lord said this time. Listen to what the Lord said yesterday. And then she would read me this page. And she would be fired up because of what God was doing. And she was starting to trust and understand that she could understand what his voice sounded like. And it was this amazing year of personal growth for her after, you know, being a Christian for 40-odd years. And as she was setting about doing that, she got to the end of last year and she started to have these occasional sentences which said something like, would you give up everything for me? And, you know, and she's reading that like a response, sort of a heart response. Are you prepared to surrender everything for me, my child? You know, so she would answer and say, yes, Lord, of course I am. And then a couple of days later, would you give up your house for me? Then a couple of days after that, would you give up this town for me? Would you move? And she thought, this is really interesting. We're getting this thread kind of coming through here. Oh, well, whatever. My answer is yes. And it was only that it became very clear to her what God was doing at the beginning of December when she lost her job. And all of a sudden, everything started to come into perspective. The Lord has been leading me to this. It's not actually a shock in my spirit because he's already been speaking to me about this and leading me to this place. And so she started to apply for jobs in the town that she lived. And she was applying all over the place and not one bite, which was unusual. And then there was one where there were 80 applicants and only 8 interviews, and she got an interview, a fantastic interview, but she didn't get the job. She's thinking, what is going on? 3 weeks out from the school year, and this is a teacher who doesn't have a job. Single mom, 3 kids. And she's thinking to herself, okay, Lord, you've let me know that I need to give up everything for you, that's cool, but, you know, what's your plan here? And there were a few different things that he'd said, but there was this one key moment where she walked into a supermarket with my mum, and they were out doing the grocery shopping, and they bumped into a couple that they'd known from a church from years ago. And they were saying, how are you going? And so she was telling, you know, I haven't got a job, and the Lord's been speaking to me about it, but nothing's really come up yet. And he says, oh, well, can I pray for you right here? And so this couple started to pray for her, you know, lay hands on her in the produce section of the supermarket. And they had this little prayer time, ministry time, wonderful. And then as he finished, he stepped back and he said, you know, one day the Lord said to me, you're going to go to such and such a town. And he said, I just wonder whether he's going to reveal a town to you. Just, you know, for what it's worth. Anyway, God bless you, have a lovely day. And off he walked. And as he walked away, my mum turned to my sister and said, it's this town. This town was in my head the whole time that he was praying. So she goes, rightio. So she goes home, Googles the town, has a look if there's any jobs. None. Oh, right? You know that moment when your spirit just sinks and you go, oh, I really thought that you were leading me here somewhere, Lord, and he just doesn't. So, whatever, she carries on with life. Went out to lunch the next day with another friend who said to her, oh, why don't you think about such and such a town, which is another town that was close by. So she went home, Googled to see if there was any jobs, and discovered that there was a job in the first town that Mum had said. It was just listed on the wrong page. So she applied. We were over there on holiday in New Zealand with her as she was writing her application. I have never seen this kind of confidence in somebody applying for a job. She was so sure because the Lord had done all of this prep work in her. She just knew. Her attitude as she was writing the job application was, I've been headhunted for this job and they've already paid me my first year's salary. It was like, you know, the job is mine, and when we move there, we'll do this, that, and the other thing, and it'll just be... She was so confident, and I was sitting there going, oh, gosh, Lord, I really hope that you come through, because this could be the biggest letdown ever. But of course the job was hers. She got it the following week. And she's having a ball. It was this job that God had set for her. It was the kind of... She's never worked in a high school... It's a high school job. She's never worked in a high school before. She applied for the job. She got it. I mean, it's nuts. And as we're looking back over all of these steps that God had done for her, that God had led her through, it occurred to me, really through the Holy Spirit, that she would never have found herself in that place if she had not learned to listen. There is no direction that could have come to her if she had not learned the art of listening. And I found it this incredibly profound slap in the face from the Lord to me, where he started to remind me that I have let that discipline go. That there might be this occasional moment where I would seek his voice, but rather than it being my food, I have allowed that to dissipate, to disappear. Yes, we pastors are humans, and we lose it often. We need to learn, church, what it means to listen to the voice of God again, and learn from Samuel what it means to live out a greater purpose because we find our resting pulse in hearing the voice of God. And so we're going to continue on from verse 6. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Probably at this point thinking it was a bad joke. And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Now what I want for us to do today is just spend a little bit of time looking at what it means to learn to listen, to actually discern the voice of God and to follow after him. And the very first thing that Samuel teaches us is that we need to posture ourselves to hear. Posture yourself to hear. You know, Samuel went to Eli and he thought it was just his voice, which is often the way when we're hearing God's voice, it just sounds like us. It just sounds like our own thoughts. And so for Samuel, it just felt like an ordinary moment to him where Eli would be calling him out. But Eli said to him, "Go and lie down. Go back and lie down. And then if you hear him again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" You see, what Samuel needed to do was he needed to create a posture of hearing. He needed to be in a place where he could hear the Lord. And the thing I think for us is not so much that, you know, we need to go and lie down and that's where we're going to hear the Lord. Actually, we just need to posture ourselves to hear. And for each of us, that's going to be different. Because you see, we live in a world that is full of distractions. For some of us, we just need to turn off the noise. That would be the beginning of a good posture for hearing. Just simply turn off the noise. There is noise everywhere in our worlds, isn't there? And do you know what I've discovered more recently is that when I would take some time out to spend time with God, I'm interrupted by my blimmin' phone. That jolly thing. I mean, you know, God bless Apple for coming out with the iPhone, but goodness me. And so, you know, you're sitting there and you're wanting to spend some time and you're praying and just engaging with the Lord and maybe reading some scripture or some worship or whatever. Ding. Oh, that must be important. Let me just have a look at that. Oh, sorry, Lord, I'm being distracted. So then you do exactly what I know all of you would do, and this is what I do as well. Put it on silent, turn it upside down. It just makes it so much better, doesn't it? It's not distracting at all. Not remotely distracting. Oh, that could be an email or Facebook. Oh, that's a text. I must look at that one. And on it goes, and we have a look, and we just have to be in tune with everything that's happening on all the time in our culture, because there could be something really important that won't allow us to wait for an hour before we respond to it or see what's happening in the world. That jolly phone. Do you know I used to spend amazing times, conversational times with God out walking? And I'd be out walking, and I was in nature, which kind of works for me, and we'd be talking, be backwards and forwards, great. And then I started wanting to clock my kilometres. So I took my phone. You wouldn't believe the things that you can do on your phone while you're walking. It's incredible. You can write a sermon on your phone while you're walking. It's true. I can prove it. It's happened. Technology. It's the devil. We actually just need to stop the noise. If you want to hear the voice of God, the very first thing you've got to do is posture yourself to hear. If you want to hear and listen and obey what God is saying to you, you've got to stop the noise, the distractions, and find a posture to hear. Rick Warren said, "We often miss hearing God's voice simply because we aren't paying attention." It's so true. Do you know there are people here in this congregation, I reckon maybe 100, 200 of you. And if you ask the question, "Lord, is there anything that you want to say to this congregation?" He would answer that, and you would know that it was the answer like that. You know who you are. So here's my question. Oh, that person. Oh, look. We love you. We love you. Grace and peace to the person whose phone just went off. Okay. Really, no embarrassment here. It was a brilliant joke, though. Excellent. What was I saying? See, I told you it was distracting. What was I saying? Oh, 200 people. Thank you. Executive pastor was listening. That's awesome. So, there would be 200 people in this room, and you could ask the question, "Lord, are you saying something to this congregation right now?" And he would answer you. And you know that he would. You would recognize his voice immediately. So my question to you today is, why are we not hearing what God is saying to our congregation on a regular basis in these services? Is it because we're not asking the question? Have we just stopped paying attention? I want to let you know that we are open to and expectant for God to speak through you to this congregation. We have this amazing worship time at the beginning of our services, mostly at the beginning of our services. And there is the opportunity for you to say, "Lord, is there something you want to say to this congregation through me today?" And what you need to do, just in case you don't know, because for a lot of you, you haven't seen it much, so you don't know, so I'll let you know. What you need to do if that happens is you come out of your seat, you wander down the front, you find out who in the front row is the host for that day. This morning, it was Pastor Scott, our executive pastor. And he'll be sitting there, and then you wander up and you go, "Lord's given me this passage," or "He's given me a picture," and it's for somebody in the congregation. And then he will walk up on the stage, he will tap the shoulder of the worship leader. This morning it was Denise, and he will say, "The Lord wants to speak," and then he will stand in front of the congregation and he'll say, "This is what the Lord wants to say," and someone's life could actually be changed and transformed because you asked God what he wanted to say. Why are we not listening? Why are we not even asking the question? God wants to speak to us. He also wants to speak through us. And he brings dynamic change when he speaks. Okay, I have to move on. The next thing that we learn from Samuel is this: acknowledge who God is. He postured himself to hear, and then he said, "Speak, Lord." That's who God is. He is the Lord. Who are you asking to speak to you? If you recognize and acknowledge him as being the Lord, then all of a sudden there is a reverence. There is a respect for the word that is about to be spoken because it comes from the Lord God Almighty. Speak, Lord. You are the Lord. You are magnificent. You are on high. You are above all else. And therefore, I come to you and I humbly ask to hear you, knowing that you want to speak to me and understanding that you are God. You are the Lord. You are in charge. And the next thing that he says is, for your servant is listening. You see, Samuel then acknowledged who he was. You acknowledge who God is, and then you acknowledge who you are. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You see, Samuel understood even from this very first moment, because he had been taught by Eli, God is God and I am not. And when it comes to hearing his word and hearing his voice, we need to understand that he is the Lord and we are not. When we come to him with that posture, when we come to him with that understanding, what we're saying to him is, you are in charge, you have the authority, and my job is simply to obey. My job is to obey my master. That's what a servant does. So this word that you're about to bring to me, Lord, my answer is going to be yes, because a servant doesn't get to pick and choose. A servant just has to answer and say, yes, master. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In John 10:27, Jesus says this. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, Jesus understands this concept, places this concept in front of us, where he says, I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep. I'm the one who speaks, and therefore you follow. The sheep doesn't take charge and do whatever it wants. The shepherd takes charge and the sheep follow. You see, if we understand that when we're listening to God, when we're listening to his voice and we're learning to listen and obey him, if we place him in his rightful place and we understand that we are the servants, then our response to him is, it doesn't matter what you say, my choice is to follow you. My choice is to do what you say. My choice is to be obedient to what you are telling me. And you wouldn't believe the guard that this is for our heart. Because we live in a culture where we are being fed things all the time. Values, morals, opinions, ideals. And when we come to God and we say, I am the master and I decided this is how it's going to be, we're going to have trouble hearing his voice. If we come to him and we say, you are the master, you tell me what I should do, what I should think, how I should behave and where I should go, then we have placed God in his rightful place and we are in a position where we can obey, which also means we are in a position where we can continue hearing. The fourth thing that we learn from Samuel is that we need to allow God to say the hard things. You see, what happened now then at this point in the story is that the Lord spoke to Samuel and he told him about what he was going to do in Israel. He also told him some personal stuff about what he was going to do in Eli's family, because Eli had not lived for the Lord. And it was harsh. It was a harsh reality. It would have been something, in fact, it was something that kept Samuel awake for the rest of the night. It worried him. It concerned him. It wasn't something that he wanted to hear. But you see, he allowed God to say the hard thing because he understood, he is God, I am not, therefore I am his servant, I listen and I obey. If we want to be people who hear and listen to the voice of God and it allows us greater purpose, we need to understand there will be some things that we don't want to hear. And we need to allow God to say the hard things. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. You see, when you disobey God's voice, when God speaks to you and you go, no, what ends up happening is a rebellion within you. And that creates a hardness of heart. It actually stops us being able to hear what God's saying. For some of us, we go, oh, I used to hear God. Oh, this is for someone this morning. I used to hear God all the time. I don't hear him anymore. What I want to say to you is, go back to the last time that he spoke to you and obey it. Because the last time he spoke to you, and this is a prophetic moment here for somebody, the last time he spoke to you, you said no. And now your heart is hard. So you're not hearing him anymore. because you closed yourself off to him by saying no. You see, the wonderful thing about our God is that he is for us. Do you know the path for prosperity, the path for blessing, the path for success, the path for fulfillment through difficulty is through obedience to God, because he has your best interest at heart, because he wants the best for you. So even when it's difficult, we obey, because we know that ultimately he is setting things up for the good of those who love him. This has been a real conviction area for me personally over the past little while. I try and take some time in January every year to ask God to speak to me about what he wants to do in the following year. And this year, he gave me one word. Listen. Listen. And I went, okay, and just being my arrogant self, I said, can you give me a chapter and verse for that, please? And he actually said Isaiah 55, and I thought, oh no, he gave me Isaiah 55 for something else in about October last year. And it's that passage that says, come to the water and drink, those who are thirsty, and come and buy, those who have no money. And I thought, that's not right, that's just me coming up with something and randomly and saying that it was the voice of God. But I felt like he said to me, go and have a look, I've got something else there for you. So I opened it up and had a look. Verse 2 says this, listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. This was a verse I had not noticed before and was right there in a passage that he'd given me last year. You see, what God is wanting to say to us, and it's not just for me, I believe a word for this church is we have got to take our fingers out of our ears and start to listen to the voice of God. There is so much he is wanting to do in and through us as his people, and we have stopped listening. For some of you, you used to move in the prophetic all the time. You would listen to God, you would speak on his behalf, you would encourage people because he was saying this and that to you, and you've actually put it on the shelf or you've let it get dormant over a period of time. And God's word to you today is, speak up. God's word to you today is, sit down and listen so that you may be his mouthpiece again. For others of you, I know, and I hear this so often, people say to me, I don't know how to hear the voice of God. I want to say to you, God is wanting to speak to you, and it's just a case of learning what his voice sounds like. If a journal would help, do that. You'll start off for the first few days, and you'll be writing it going, oh, this is garbage. But if you persevere, there will be a period of time where you will look back and you'll go, God has been speaking to me. He's been directing me, and I can see his hand in my life. Every single person who follows Jesus, who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, can hear the voice of God. We just need to learn how. Posture yourself to hear. Acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge who you are. And allow God to say the hard things. I wonder if you would stand with me. And just as we finish our time together, what I would love for us to do is just to personally take a moment to respond. And as the music plays, you might just even want to stand before God, just with your hands out before him, ready to receive, and just say to him, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And for some of you, you need to use this moment to confess either that you have not been obedient to him or that you just simply have not been listening, and just to say to him, Lord, today I choose to listen. And from this moment forward, I choose to listen. For some of you, you're going to feel like, oh, this is something that I used to live all the time, and now it's just fallen by the wayside. Just come back to him and say, Lord, from this day forward, I recommit to pursuing you, to pursuing hearing your voice, knowing what you're saying to me. Just in this moment, speak. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We're going to open up the front here and have the prayer team come down, and they're going to be ready to pray for people, to anoint you with oil. But there's just before we sing, I felt like the Lord wanted to speak to a couple of people specifically this morning. For one of you, you're the youngest child in your family, and you have always had this feeling that you were a mistake. And because of that, it's meant that you live your life under intimidation and a feeling of unworthiness. And I believe that this morning what the Lord wants to do is to bring you into a new season of being His mouthpiece. He actually wants to instill in you a flourishing gift of prophecy, that you can speak His word to other people. Even though intimidation has become a habit in your life, He actually wants you to find your significance in being His mouthpiece. And I would love for you during this time, if that is you and your heart is racing right now, come forward, have one of the prayer team pray for you, pray that into you, and anoint you with oil for that, so that you can step into that new stage in your life. There is someone else here, and you are in a situation at the moment with a group of people where you are being pushed to give up your moral standard. You're being argued with, you're being coerced, you're being pressured to give up your moral standard. And the passage that the Lord has for you today is Psalm 1. Psalm 1. You need to read that. Talk about what the Lord sees in a righteous person, and to claim that and to bring that into your prayer life. But at the same time as taking that passage, I also want for you to come and get prayer. There's nothing magical about walking out of your seat, but there is something powerful about saying, I heard you, Lord, and I am going to make a motion, a physical motion, to respond to that call. There'll be other people all across this place, and there's been various things that have been said in this message that are coming to mind and coming to your spirit, and you're saying, I actually need someone to pray with me and to pray over that and to see God's breakthrough in that. And so I want to invite you, even now as the music plays and these guys sing, to come forward and have these guys start to pray for you. And before we do that, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your grace to us, and I thank you that you are a God who is dynamically involved with us. That you don't want to leave us on our own and to our own devices, but that you want to engage with us and see us grow and develop. That you want to share treasures from your soul with us. And so I pray right now as we respond to you, that you would bring real transformation by your Spirit in this place. In the name of Jesus.
Came to earth and took our breath. behind. I won't be shaken, I won't be moved. I will follow you and leave the world behind. I won't be shaken, I won't be moved. I will follow you and leave the world behind. I won't be shaken, I won't be moved. I will follow you.
For more information about Crossway, visit us on the web at crossway.org.au.